feel the thunder. Do you feel the thunder? Well, good morning. Welcome to Shelter Rock. As Pastor Jim said, my name is Kevin, and I'm one of the pastors here. And today we're continuing our year-long journey called Dr. Luke's Travelogue. We're kind of journeying through the books of Luke and Acts. And as Pastor Jim said in the first service, I was like, he just preached my whole sermon. So you guys don't have to stay for that part. You can leave later. No, you might want to stick around because we have some other cool stuff happening. But it is amazing to me, like, how God orchestrates and knows exactly what we need when we need it. And the fact that we find ourselves today in Acts chapter 10 at the time that we are in as a nation and as a country is pretty incredible. And it's no coincidence that God knew exactly what we would need to hear from him today. And so we're going to talk about the passage in a little bit, but I just want to recognize that, you know, once again, the face of evil has reared its ugly head in Charlottesville and in Spain and several other places over the last week or week and a half here, and it's just been awful. Our hearts are broken, and our thoughts and prayers are with those who have been directly affected. This week, Pastor Steve on Thursday sent a letter out to the congregation, just kind of giving a pastoral and a Christian response to what has happened. Hopefully you've had a chance to read that. If you haven't, we have some hard copies that are at the information table. I'd encourage you to pick that up at the end of the service. Here's what I would like to say is that sometimes when the ugly face of evil rears its head, it can feel overwhelming and even impossible that we'll never get out of these kind of situations. It can seem like things may never change for the better. And I want to say that apart from Jesus, lasting change is impossible. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. That because of what Jesus did, we can find a way through. We can find some redemptive value. And God can do something beyond what we thought and think can happen. Because Jesus gives us hope. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Because though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on the things we can see, but on what is unseen. Because what is unseen is eternal. We are part of an unshakable kingdom." That's going to be our theme for Winterfest this year. And Hebrews says, we are part of an unshakable kingdom. That though the world is being shaken, God has not fallen off his throne. And we can live with hope as Christians in the midst of darkness. Because when Jesus returned to the Father after he was raised from the dead, he gave us the key. He gave us the secret weapon to seeing the impossible become possible. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God himself living inside of us to remind us of what Jesus did for us. And who we are in light of what Jesus did for us. And he gives us peace, and he gives us hope, and he gives us courage, and he encourages us, and he strengthens us. And so he gives us the ability to do things which we could not do on our own. And so when we look at the impossible situations of our world, listen, the politics isn't going to change it. Legislation isn't going to change it. Force isn't going to change it. Even education is not going to change it, because those things only deal with behavior. And behavior is not the primary issue. The primary issue is the fallen brokenness of the human race and the brokenness of the human heart. And Jesus came to give us a new heart, to put God's heart within us. And so the only way we're going to see lasting change is when Jesus gets a hold of people's hearts. And as they begin to have his word change the way they think, and the Holy Spirit begins to animate their lives. And so that's the message of hope that we carry as Christians. There's a desperate need in our world for the church to rise up and be agents of hope to show the world that there is a better way. You know, when we're witnessing all these terrible things and you're hearing bad news all the time, it can be easy to think that bad news is the only news. But I want you to know, bad news is not the only news. How many of you watch the evening news? And it's like 90% tragedies and horrible destruction and turmoil and darkness. And then they give you a 10%, the last 3 minutes of the show, they throw you a bone. Here's one guy who's doing something nice in the world, right? They tease you with it, like, okay, there's one person. I want you to know that there are some great things happening around the world despite all the bad things that are going on. And today we thought you might want to hear some good news in the midst of all the bad news. Would you like to hear some good news today? All right, good. And so God's been doing some great things all around the world. And this summer, our church has been able to be a part of some of the things that he's doing. And we thought today we would take some time to share with you some of the great things that we were able to be a part of. And so what we're going to do, we're going to look at four of the five trips that we went on as a church this summer. We're going to watch a short video, and then we're going to have some people from those trips come up and share a little bit about their experience. So the first up, we want you to watch a video about our Belize trip. All right, I want to invite Billy Harding. He's going to come up and he's going to share a little bit about the trip. Billy, where are you at? Come on down. We got a winner. So this is Billy. Billy, thanks for being here.
No problem.
There you go. So Billy, how many trips have you been on before?
This is my second one. My first one was 2005.
And where did you go in 2005?
Mexico.
Oh,
like,
very
right
cool.
Right around like Progreso area.
That's great. So what did you guys, who did you work with on this trip? And we saw some of the things you did. Tell us a little bit about it.
The trip, we worked with Ron and Linda Brighton. They're from Long Island. Growing up, I believe Ron and his father were both, they were in building.
Yes.
They were doing like residential commercial building. And I think they were from like Half Hollow Hills area,
yes,
like right over by.
And then he was the youth pastor at the church.
Yes,
I was two youth pastors before me. I was like his grandson as a youth pastor there. That was great.
So he kind of he told us the story when we were down there, but he kind of got like pushed into it a little bit, and then he just stayed with it.
Yeah, and he's been down there I think for about 18 years now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And you guys built a house. This is kind of what he does. How many houses has he built?
This house that we built was the 99th house that he built down there.
Wow.
He could build it in his sleep there.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I went down there a number of years ago as well, and it's so incredible what they do. So tell us kind of how did the family respond, or tell us a little bit about the family and what was going on.
The family, they were the two houses adjacent to where the house that we built, they were, I guess there was like three families into one, and they're not that big, but they're big enough. They basically, the house is primarily just for shelter. You know, they have some plumbing. If they want electricity, they can have that hooked up as well. A lot of the houses have just regular outhouses in the back. But the two houses adjacent were supporting almost, between the two of them, like six families. So Ron, I guess, you know, he vetted them and felt that this was a family that was in need to have their own living space. And so they were chosen to have this house, and they were very, very grateful.
Yeah.
You can see it on their faces.
I think in the first service, Tom said this family was living in a tent for 7 years, a tent before they built this house. So what an incredible thing you guys did. So tell us how this trip impacted you personally, and what would you say to folks here that are maybe kind of on the fence about going on a trip?
Let's see. It's hot down there, so if you don't like hot weather, you better think twice about it, but you get used to it.
Listen, when everybody's sweaty, it makes me comfortable because I realize just, everybody's in my
boat
now.
You got that glow going, it just doesn't matter anymore. Personally, I hadn't been on a trip in a while, and I was kind of really put on my heart. I felt I was talking to God about it, and Jerry came forward. He's like, you know, we really need another guy on this trip, and I had the time, so, you know, Jack kind of sealed the deal with that. He's very good at doing stuff like that. But personally, I was, you know, I accepted Christ probably on maybe 1992, and then I never really kind of took the next step as far as getting baptized, and I thought, you know, maybe this would be a great idea, and I joked to Jack about it. He goes, done. And you saw in a picture myself, I think Ariel was, we were scheduled to get baptized down there. And then three other people in the group just, you know, stepped forward and took the plunge.
So awesome. Great. Well, listen, there's lots of stories that we're going to hear today. And Billy's going to be in the foyer for a little bit after service. He'd like to hear more about the trip. Thanks, Billy. Up next, we have our York, Pennsylvania kids trip. So watch this. Awesome. We have Kevin Jacob here. Where's Kev? Come on up, Kev. Best name in the house, buddy. Now, Kevin, I heard you rap, and you're going to do a song for us. Is that right?
No.
No, okay. I was mistaken. My bad. I thought it was somebody. Here, let me have you give me that. Just hold it right by your chin. So, Kev, the first question I have is, did the Hershey chocolate come to know Jesus? No. So, tell us who you guys worked with. What'd you guys do?
So basically, we went to nursing homes. We split up into three groups to go to three different nursing homes, and we did many activities and helped the people out, like clean windows in the cottages.
Wow. And what surprised you about going to a nursing home? Because you probably weren't thinking, how old are you?
12.
12-year-old, let me go hang out with a bunch of people in a nursing home, right? But what surprised you about doing that?
Well, I sort of learned to be grateful about abilities like we have now because a lot of them are very sick.
Yeah. So you were able to do some things for them that they couldn't do themselves.
And they're
very
happy about
it. Yeah. I know. Nursing home, they love a lot of the grandparents. They don't get to see their kids a lot. So when you come around, they get a lot of joy, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah, that's great. So what would you say that you learned on this trip about yourself, and what did kind of God teach you?
He taught that to be grateful for what you have, and also to helping can make a big difference
That's
in people's
great.
Lives.
Awesome. Well, Kev, we're really proud of you. Good job, buddy. And good job, man. Kev will be signing autographs in the foyer after church as well, so make sure you stop and see him. Up next is our Nicaragua trip. Watch this. I'm going to invite Rich Cutler to come up. This is our friend Rich. He's usually over in Syosset. It's fun to have you over here. By the way, Rich does a lot of the catering for here, so if you ever wonder where all that great food comes from, it's Rich. So Rich, tell us, how many times have you been on this trip to Nicaragua?
I've been four times.
Four times. And what has kind of kept you going back all these years?
Nicaragua just grabbed my heart, and just doing the Lord's work and serving God has really brought me back.
Tell us about who you worked with and kind of what they're all about and how we were able to kind of partner with them.
We work for a group called Forward Edge International. They run mission trips all over the world. Mm-hmm. And they partnered up with this woman named Gloria Ann Wilbert. And I guess 10 years ago, they were at the garbage dumps in Nicaragua and they saw these at-risk women, girls actually, young girls, being trafficked. And they did something about it. And they opened up a place called Villa Esperanza, which is Village of Hope. And they take young girls out of this environment and they rehabilitate them.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I've been there a couple of times myself, and the situations these girls were in is just like they would sell their own children to be able to get first dibs in the garbage dump.
Yep.
That's what they would sell them for. So they're taking these girls in, and we've been there. So much joy down there. Tell us kind of what some of the things you guys did while you were there.
We did a medical clinic. We treated over 250 people. We worked in the village called Nueva Vida, and there's a church, Virabao Church, we partnered with. And we build public schools and paint and do service, and we do vacation Bible school and just spread the gospel.
And our church has kind of been part of a life skills center that they're working on down there. It's probably
really
almost
unbelievable because they had these girls and they were 10 years old. Now they're turning 20, and what do you do with them? And they through a lot of people's hard work and effort and financial assistance, they were able to build a life skills center, which teaches them cosmetology, cooking, computer skills, so they can come be sustainable after they leave.
Awesome, awesome! It's such a great trip. Thank you for sharing with us, man. And again, all of the folks that are sharing will be in the lobby afterwards, and there's a lot more they could tell you about it, but great trip. See, I told you there's some good stuff happening in the world. We just don't always hear about it, and so we're glad that we were able to kind of share some of that with you today. And the stories that you just heard are actually an extension of exactly the scripture that we read during worship today that we're looking at in Acts chapter 10. That in Acts chapter 10, God's mission of taking the gospel beyond just the Jewish people out into the broader world, into the world of the Gentiles, was beginning. And here we are today, and just as one church among thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands around the world, we are just in one summer going to the corners of the earth to share God's love with people. And the word of Acts chapter 10, as Pastor Jim said, is so timely for us today. Because as the gospel of Jesus was going out and as people were receiving this good news, all of a sudden people from a lot of different backgrounds and traditions and ethnicities were coming together. And God was not content if I could use this illustration, God was not content for his people to just come and go live in their own ghettos and their own. God says, no, this is a family, and everybody's going to be welcomed into my home. And you can imagine when you have a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different traditions and ethnicities coming together, there are going to be challenges. Dealing with racism and hate is nothing new. In fact, a couple weeks ago, we looked at Acts chapter 6, and even before the Gentiles were coming in, there was some kind of infighting among just the Jewish, the different sects of Judaism, and where people were from, and they were coming together, and they were kind of discriminating against people from different areas, and God had to deal with that when they were dealing with it just within Judaism, because he understood that there was coming a day very shortly when there was going to be a lot more at stake, there was going to be a lot more diversity coming in, and God's answer for that was to give us the Holy Spirit, to help us to be able to do what we could not do in the natural. It's not always just natural for people who are different to be able to live together and hang out. But that's the way of God's kingdom. And God wants us to be a place that doesn't just tolerate people who are different than us, but actually to celebrate and learn to live together peacefully and in harmony. And so God's word to Peter is especially timely for us today. And there were some roadblocks in Peter's life that had to be overcome in order to get on board with God's heart of inclusion and welcome of all these kinds of people. And these are things that you and I still struggle with. We see it in lots of people. We see it in ourselves and in the mirror. That because of our broken human condition, there's things that we kind of don't want people that are different than us sometimes. And it takes work. It's not easy. And here's the thing, God gave us his Holy Spirit. And if you just think about the name, the Holy Spirit, God is spirit, and he comes to live within us. And God's spirit is not confined like physical things. God's Holy Spirit cannot be contained. And God poured out his spirit and so that it would go beyond the borders of religion and Judaism that they thought. And God said, no, this is for the whole world. And God said, I want to put my spirit inside of you so that you will not be contained by the thinking of this world or by the way things have always been done. And God wants us to live filled with his Holy Spirit so that he can live through us and that we can live unhindered and that we can have an influence on people and that the impossible things of our world can become possible with Jesus. People say, well, maybe, you know, all this stuff, maybe we should just kind of, everybody just go to your corners. No, God says, no, we're going to work through this, and we're going to make the impossible possible. This story in Acts chapter 10 is not just about the conversion of a Gentile, this Roman officer named Cornelius. It is about the conversion also of the church. That God, as the church was going out on his mission, taking the gospel of change into the world, God was also affecting change within his people. Author Leslie Newbegin made the observation that as the church was beginning to set out on their mission to change the world, she also was being changed. He says this, it's not as though the church opened its gates to admit a new person into its company and then closed them again, remaining unchanged except for the addition of a name to its roll of members. Mission is not just church extension. It is something much more costly and much more revolutionary. It is the action of the Holy Spirit who in his sovereign freedom both convicts the world and leads the church toward the fullness of the truth that it has not yet grasped. Mission is not essentially an action by which the church puts forth its own power and wisdom to conquer the world around it. It is rather the action of God putting forth the power of the Holy Spirit to bring the universal work of Christ for the salvation of the world nearer to its completion. The end of this story is not the picture of the church kind of being the same as it was before. It became a whole different kind of society before Peter and Cornelius met. In the midst of the world in which we see injustice and evil and hate and bigotry and all these things, God wants you and me to continue his mission of reconciliation, of healing, of wholeness, of peace, of unity, of love. And in order to do that, we have to overcome some things in our lives, just like Peter had to overcome some sinful tendencies. So God gives us the Holy Spirit, first of all, to move us beyond the borders of our past. The first thing that God had to do inside of Peter was to free him from the chains of his past. He had been taught what to eat and what not to eat. He was a good Jew. And so the food set before him in this vision was not kosher. And he knew the right answer is, I can't eat this food. And yet here's God in this vision telling him, I want you to eat this. It was a violation of his conscience. It was a violation of his convictions, which were based in the law. These things were unclean. And so avoiding these kinds of food had always been a way of showing that we are set apart from everybody else. We're distinct, we're separate, and it was a way to show that they were apart. A great metaphor for the law in the Old Testament is that God gave the law kind of as a quarantine. It was like God chose Abraham and said, you're like a family of doctors, and one day your family is going to deliver the cure for the disease of sin in this world. And so God gave them the law to set them apart and so that he could provide it. And Jesus came, born into the family of Abraham, as the Savior. And when Jesus came, the quarantine was lifted. It was no longer needed. But some people were still living under the old expectations of the law, still living within the quarantine. Peter was still looking at people through the eyes of legalism and tradition. And God had to show him that the rules that he had been living with about not associating with people who were different than him were no longer valid. Because in Jesus, God was blowing the door of his house wide open and extending an invitation to everyone and inviting his church to go and to reach out to everyone. And so in order for Peter to be a part of what God was doing, he had to get over the thoughts of his past and get on with God's vision to be a part of God's work. The second thing is that the Holy Spirit moves us beyond the borders of our fear. God repeats this vision to Peter three times. Sometimes we're kind of thick-headed and we try to argue with God. And we try to justify the reason that we don't want to talk to certain people or we don't want to associate with them or whatever. And so Peter does that. He protests. And according to the logic of his past, it made sense. But God insists that he has to overcome the convictions of his past because those understandings do not represent the heart of God. The number three in the Bible is a number of finality. And God gives him this vision three times to make it abundantly clear to Peter that this was a non-negotiable. This was God's plan. All people are to be reached with the gospel. This was a firm plan of God, and there were no expectations or qualifications. And so Peter starts to get it. Okay, I understand, but how's this all going to work out? And before he has a chance to really kind of strategically think about this, these guys show up at his door and invite him to go into the home of a Roman officer. And Peter, as a good Jew, it's very possible he had never been in the home of a Gentile before because he says, it's against the law, it's against my tradition for me to go into the home of a Gentile or even to really associate with them. But God says, I want you to go. Can you imagine the fear that Peter had to deal with? What if this is a trap by the Romans? Like, what if he's setting me up? Or maybe, what if while we're walking there, my friends see me walking with these Gentiles? Or what are they going to think about me when they see me going into this guy's house? What's the word on the street going to be about me? What's going to happen to my reputation? All these fears. And God simply says, do not worry about this stuff, Peter, because this is part of my plan. Peter had to be set free from the fear that he had and living by the opinions of others because God was calling him to get on board with his vision. The third thing is that the Holy Spirit moves us beyond the borders of our thinking. Peter goes to Cornelius' house, and this is no secret meeting. Cornelius has invited all his friends and his family over to hear what Peter has to say to them because he wanted to hear what God had to say. And like I said, this is possibly the first time he's there. And he tells Cornelius, I'm really not supposed to be here. But here's what he says. God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. God has shown me the way I've been viewing people and thinking about people has been wrong, and I have to change the way I think. And so Cornelius begins to tell Peter his encounter with God, and Peter realizes this is a big God thing, and it's a confirmation of the thing. And he says this, I now realize that it's true. God does not show favoritism. God does not show favoritism, but he accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of just the Jewish people. No, he says, who is Lord of all. God is revealing to Peter, this thing is a universal call for people to enter God's kingdom. You see, Peter had been taught his whole life how to look at Gentiles, what to think about them. Maybe in your life, you grew up, and of no fault of your own, your parents or family members or friends gave you bad stereotypes of people or said, oh, those people are like that. You shouldn't hang out with those kinds of people. Don't do it. And God wanted to send a message that we don't judge people based on the color of their skin or any other thing. Last week, there was a tweet sent out. It's become the most retweeted tweet in the history of tweets. Here's what the tweet said. No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion. And some of you may not have even been able to hear the truth of what was just said because of who said it. And if that's you, I wonder if God might be putting his finger on something inside of you that he's after. Is there a bias? Is there a little prejudice, maybe even a hate that God needs to weed out of your heart? There's a deep truth here that needs to be seen, that prejudice and hatred and bigotry are learned sinful behaviors. And the world will teach us these things, but the Holy Spirit is holy. He's pure, he's good, he's righteous, and he leads us towards right, whole, good thinking. Maybe you've been viewing people and thinking about other people through the lens of your past or the lens of your parents or the lens of your culture or your tradition or your political party, but Jesus came to reframe how we view people. Paul wrote that because of Jesus, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to see people the way God sees them. God wants to redeem our eyes and our minds to think about and see people the way he sees them and he thinks about them. God created us all with the image of God inside of us. And we need to see people as human beings that are worthy of love and that God has the ability and the desire to redeem. And that in Jesus, as we saw last week, Saul's can become Paul's. The people that you don't think have a chance, God can do something in their lives. And our job is to reach them with the love of Jesus. Last week at our camp that we had, we sang a beautiful song just about every night. It was called Reckless Love. Listen to some of these words. Here's the chorus and the bridge. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you gave yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me. That is the heart of God for his children, and that's the heart that God wants us to have for people. How can we love people this way? How can we find a way through the climate of hate and evil and bigotry that we see? We do it not by overcoming evil with evil. We do it by overcoming evil with good. And the only way we can live in the goodness of God is by God living through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe today God is giving a call to us as his church to rise up and be representatives and give us the ability to effect change in our world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's close in prayer. God, today you want to set us free from things that keep us from loving people the way that you love them. Today, if you're here and you know that there are things in your past and things that you have been conditioned from other people that have led you to not see people or think about people the way that God does, and you want God to change your thinking, I want you just to pray about that with God right now. God, would you give me your eyes? Would you give me your heart? Would you give me your mind? Maybe you know that you've been allowing fear to drive how you look at other people. You're not looking at people with eyes of compassion and love. Maybe you're looking at them with suspicion and judgment. Maybe you've stereotyped a whole people group because of some people that have done some bad things. Maybe you've been ignoring or avoiding people because you have cast judgment upon them. Or maybe you're here today, and this is probably for all of us. We just need the Holy Spirit to invade our lives. We need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. We need Him to give us wisdom. We need to give us the ability to see and the courage to stand up against injustice and prejudice and racism and evil. I read a great quote this week by Pastor Bill Johnson. He said, "Anyone can be bold after God has shown up. But God is looking people who will be bold so that He can show up." If you need prayer for boldness today, just begin to receive that right now. God, I want to live courageously for You. God, I want to stand up for what's right. God, Your word says that You inhabit the praises of Your people. May my life be lived as a praise song to You. God, would You come and live in and through me? May I be an agent of Your goodness and Your love and Your grace and Your mercy, that You would use my life to draw people to You. God, that I would not look at people with stereotypes and through the eyes that are unredeemed, God, but that You would cleanse my eyes, that You would help me see people through the filter of grace and love that You have extended to me. God, we need Your help. We can't do it on our own. So we ask You, God, this morning, fill us afresh with Your Spirit so we can do and be more than we could ever do and be on our own. We need You. In Jesus' name, amen.